First Chronicles 22:16. We are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. First Chronicles 22:16. We are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. First Chronicles 22:16. 2 Corinthians 9:8. God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. 2 Corinthians 9:8. God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. 2 Chronicles 9:8. Revelation 1:18. I am Him who lives and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. Revelation 1:18. I am He who lives and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. Revelation 1:18. Would you open your Bibles this morning, please, to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 14. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 14. We spend a moment in prayer before we begin our study. Father, we're thankful for another wonderful opportunity which is ours to focus our attention upon the eternal truths of your word. We realize today that we have this magnificent book, the completed canon of Scripture. We have the wonderful ministry of the Holy Spirit. We've been given so many logistical provisions. We're the recipients of grace in every area of life. We have grace in salvation. We have grace each and every day of our lives. We have the assurance that one of these days, by your matchless grace, we will leave this life and be in your presence throughout eternity. So we have positional sanctification, experiential sanctification, and ultimate sanctification. Father, thank you. Thank you so much. Bless us in these moments of study. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. On the screen, you see again Ephesians 1:14. I enjoy, as all of you know, the study of each and every word and each and every verse. I cannot take the time today to emphasize all the various aspects of this magnificent verse. I do want you to spend a few moments with me, though, and let's look at it, please. We have a verb here, which is a little verb of being, which is imi, E-I-M-I. If you'll notice the way that it is used, it is a present active indicative, third person singular. Who is the earnest, the down payment on our inheritance? We've already emphasized in the first session, we repeat now, that before this word arabon, there is no article which emphasizes the qualitative aspects of that particular noun. This is not primarily emphasizing identification. We already know about this. This is emphasizing the quality of our down payment, the badge of royalty. We've emphasized in past days this beautiful word for inheritance. We're not going to be emphasizing that at this moment. The Holy Spirit, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, is the down payment on our eternal inheritance. Waiting that time when we will be the receivers of the full completion, redemption of the possession to the praise of His glory. I've decided when I made preparation for these messages on the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, I decided first of all I would put indwelling of the Holy Spirit 1, indwelling of the Holy Spirit 2, indwelling of the Holy Spirit 3, and I thought that might not go over very well. And so you'll notice in the bulletin today the way I did this was, number 1, the ministry of the Holy Spirit in daily living. And then in this session, the badge of royalty. And then on Wednesday night, God's pledge that we are His. God's pledge that we are His. I shouldn't tell you this, but in preparation for this information, passing it on to you, I find myself enveloped with so many thoughts and so many ideas and concepts. I had 33 or 34 pages of information. And I always confuse our secretary and our web man over here when I send all this information to them. And then I come here and use something entirely different. So I just want you to know that what you have today as the insert in today's bulletin is a message I plan to preach. Some of this information, never did get around to it, but I had sent it over to our secretary, and I noticed today in the bulletin it came out as the insert, which I thought was quite unique. So I just want you to know, when you study the information that's in the bulletin today, it is information that I have not preached. It's information I prepared to preach but didn't get time or get up here with it. Now, Ephesians 1:14 again. What we have here is an emphasis on how royalty should act. You and I, as members of the family of God, we are told in the Scripture how we're to act. And so I'm going to try to move rapidly, but I want you to see that we need to have an understanding. First of all, we need to understand that when God brought us into His family, He made us saints. Now, you can put your name, whatever it is, St. John, St. Mary, St. whatever. Just put your name there and put saint in front of it. And I just want you to know that I realize how saintly you are. I'm fully aware of the fact that you're extremely saintly. Are you feeling that I'm being a little facetious at that point? Tongue in cheek? Oh, surely I am. St. Roy. Can you imagine that? St. Roy. I'm telling you, you can put your name and put saint in front of it, because really, that's what it is. When you became a believer in Jesus Christ, God worked the miracle of redemption, and you became a member of the royal family, and He placed you as a saint. Now, let's notice some things, though, in relationship to this. I'm not going to take the time to read it, but I'm going to ask you to write somewhere in your notes Revelation 1, 4, 5, and 6. Revelation 1, 4, 5, and 6, we have the emphasis upon the seven churches of Asia Minor. Some beautiful, magnificent things there about our relationship to God through Jesus Christ. We are to understand that God has made us saints. Now, in the light of that, let's look at these subpoints. We're bound together in what is called the body of Christ. From Pentecost on the one hand, and to the rapture or the resurrection of the body of Christ on the other hand, we are in this magnificent body. It's known as the body of Christ. Beautiful it is to realize that you and I have been placed in this body. The body of Christ is being formed. Every time a person accepts Jesus Christ as Savior, another member has been added to that body. One of these days, the last person who's going to be saved before the rapture is going to be saved, and then the rapture will occur. What I want you to see is that we're bound together as born-again believers in what is called the body of Christ. One of the things that thrills me in relationship to Grace Bible Church is that we are a body. And the longer I live with you, and the longer you live with me as a congregation, the more magnificent this body really is. It is magnificent to see how the body functions. One of the things that we're going to be able to see in a few moments is the pastor is not responsible for following you around to find out how well you're living your Christian life. That is not my responsibility. My responsibility is to love you. And the way that I love you is to communicate God's word so that you can advance and you'll be living that Christian life properly if you follow the teaching of the word of God. So, we're bound together in what is called the body of Christ. Also, number two, subpoint, we're bound to advance to maturity. In other words, God wants you and me to continue our spiritual life so that we will get to the point of traveling the highway of God's grace, move up, advance, continue to advance, and climb to the mountain peak of what we call the echo zone. It is God's plan for you and me not to remain on the runway. We're to take off and to move in advance and climb to the mountain peak of the echo zone. We're bound to advance. In other words, it's God's desire that we advance. Number three, we're bound so that differences are overshadowed in areas of non-essentials. What I have to tell you is, many, many times I stand here and preach, you may or may not understand, you may or may not agree, you may think that I don't know what I'm talking about. All of these things can be true. But I do want you to understand that you and I have the responsibility of being bound so that differences overshadowed in areas of the non-essentials. There are essentials and there are non-essentials. And you and I, if we're not careful, can get ourselves all hooked up with the non-essentials and we can miss out on what God has planned for us while we're living on this earth. So we're bound so that differences are overshadowed in areas of the non-essentials. But look, number four, we're bound so that there is tolerance of application relative to the insignificant. When I deal with people, I'm aware of the fact that people get involved with all different kinds of ideas and thoughts and concepts, and that's fine. I'm fully aware of the fact that I have to be very careful to guide you when you come to me with various concepts and ideas. It doesn't matter whether I am in agreement or disagreement with you. That's not the issue. The issue is that I'm bound so that there is tolerance of application relative to the insignificant. You have to think about that, but let's look at the next statement. We're bound so that there is intolerance relative to essential biblical truths. Now, you can forget the other points if you want to, but I don't want you to miss this one. We're bound so that there is intolerance relative to essential biblical truths. One of the things that the pastor has great concern about is that if we're not careful, we can become entangled and enveloped with the importance of certain things around the church that are relatively insignificant compared to what we're here for. We're here to study God's Word, to grow in grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, and all these other things are essential, but they are not the most essential. So let's be careful as we deal with various aspects in life. Notice, if you will, please, we are bound so that there is intolerance relative to biblical truths. Now, if you're following me, you're going to be able to see what I have presented for you in the next statement. This is Roman numeral 2. Royalty demands rigid inflexibility to essential concepts of God's Word. It's important for me to say this over and over 7 times at least, but I won't do it. Just twice. Royalty demands rigid inflexibility to essential concepts of God's Word. But notice, while flexible to the application. I don't expect everyone to either understand or agree with interpretation. Variance can become error, and misinterpretation can become apostasy. Now, you'll have to analyze this with me, and let us see what we're saying. Royalty. We're members of the royal family. We have the badge of royalty, which is the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Royalty demands rigid inflexibility to essential concepts of God's Word. My responsibility is to study and to present God's Word. It's my responsibility when my throat doesn't work right to get a drink. Royalty demands rigid. And I use the word rigid because it's a powerful word. Royalty demands rigid inflexibility to essential concepts of God's Word, while flexible with the application. Variance can become error. Misinterpretation can become apostasy. We are to distinguish between biblical absolutes and various ways these absolutes can be applied. I'm aware of the fact that you've got to think through what I'm presenting here. We are to distinguish between biblical absolutes and various ways these absolutes can be applied. Roman numeral 3. When royal members learn truths together, their applications will not always be the same. Are you aware of what I'm saying? Sure. When royal members learn biblical concepts, I'm amazed, folks, as I look back over these 40 some odd years of teaching here. I have every sermon listed for these 43 now in the 43rd year. I can tell you that if you have been with us for 43 years and you've listened to the communication of the Word of God through all these various verses and through these various books of the Bible, I promise you that God's Word would have made a great difference in all of our lives. When royal members learn truths together, their applications will not always be the same. However, Roman number 4, the more mature, generally, the more accurate will be the application. Are you with me on that statement? Let's listen to it. The more we are advancing, generally, the more accurate will be the applications. The reason why so many people have such great difficulty is they find themselves in perplexity and bewilderment and confusion is because they are still in the baby stage. They're not in the adolescent, they're not in the youth, they're not in the young adult, they're not in the adult stage of spiritual advance. You have to ask yourself the question today. It's not my responsibility to answer it for you. You have to ask yourself the question, where am I in my spiritual advance? Am I a baby? Am I an adolescent? Am I a youth? Am I a young adult? Am I an adult? Am I an advanced believer? That's for you to decide. My responsibility is to be communicating God's Word to you so that as you receive the communication, you will advance and move out of the baby stage, move out of the youth stage, move out on to the advanced stage. The more mature generally, the more accurate will be the application. Now I move to number 5. The more advanced believers must be tolerant of a new believer when there are inaccurate applications. Look, if you will, please, at that. I don't want you to be disturbed by what I'm telling you because it's very important. The more advanced believers must be tolerant of a new believer when there are inaccurate applications. It's important for you and me to be able to see that you and I have the responsibility of growing in grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ on a day-by-day basis. Number 6, this gives the new or immature believer the same opportunity of learning as the mature believer had when he or she was immature. In other words, be kind, be understanding, Be patient, be loving with new believers. Don't expect them to be able to see things the same way you see them. Love, be kind, be considerate. In other words, what we're saying is the more advanced believers must be understanding and tolerant of a new believer when there are inaccurate biblical applications. This gives the new or immature believer the same opportunity of learning as the mature believer had when he or she was immature. Let's look at this again. Number 7. In God's own timing, not ours, the Holy Spirit directing spiritual food in the soul of the growing believer will guide that believer in making correct applications. In other words, what you're able to see here is, in God's own timing, not ours, the Holy Spirit directing the spiritual food in the soul of the growing believer will guide that believer in making correct applications, seeing things from a vertical viewpoint rather than from a horizontal viewpoint. I feel like I need to ask you a question. Are you able to see what I'm trying to get over today? Would you just do me a favor? Are you able to see what I'm trying to get over? I want you to know that God's plan is for us to love each other and be having the right attitude toward individuals, no matter where they are in their spiritual advance. If you've been around studying God's Word for 50 or 60 years, have the right attitude toward the baby believer. Don't be ugly or rude or unkind. Be considerate. Be loving. Okay, number 8. Different levels of ignorance. This is funny. Different levels of ignorance will not change the absolute truth of God's Word. Do you see what that's saying? In other words, if a person doesn't know, don't be ugly to them because they don't know. Love them and be kind to them and give them an opportunity to know. That's what God wants us to do. So, I have to go very quickly. We are taking care of things, and I appreciate what is being done. Let's look at this very quickly now. When you go back to this verse, who is, this is the Holy Spirit, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, who is the down payment on our eternal inheritance? The Holy Spirit in the believer's life. I'm going to move rapidly now. We only have about 10 minutes, and I want you to see this as an overview. When you accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, the Holy Spirit sealed you into the family. The sealing of the Holy Spirit is the believer's, in the believer's life, revealed in our verse, presented as our escutcheon, our badge of authority, badge of royalty, is now presented as our quality gift from God. Notice, if you will, what I'm trying to get over. When I look at this verse and I see it in the original language, and I see that it does not have an article there, and it's not primarily emphasizing identification now, it's emphasizing quality. What this is saying to us is, you and I must realize, not only are we saved by God's grace, but we are the recipients of a gift that is beyond anything that you and I could ever think about and understand. So, it's a badge of royalty. It's now presented to us as our quality gift from God for a life of victory and triumph. Do you see what that's saying? It is saying that this is the down payment, the earnest money. It's been made in full. It's the first installment deposited on the plan of God for each born-again believer. And so, why do we say quality gift? The preachers just said this is an emphasis, without that article there, an emphasis on quality gift. Now I'm asking a question to the preacher. Preacher, would you do me a favor and answer this? Okay, I will. Why do we say quality gift? It says, who is, it begins this verse with no definite article. You'd say, preacher, you've been saying that over and over again. I've heard that. Yes, that's, go on to something else. Okay. Who is begins the verse with no definite article. Who is refers to this magnificent gift with the emphasis on quality, not identification. The Greek word erebon, translated pledge, is a commercial term, F1, which literally means a payment, a part of a purchase price in advance. Okay? First installment, deposit, down payment, ready for pledge, F2. In our New Testament literature, this word is only found in two Pauline scriptures, and it is 2 Corinthians 1:22 and 2 Corinthians 5:5. I must hasten. I've got to go fast. Identification has already been explained. When I got into this passage of Scripture, I decided that I would not retype it for you. I just decided I'd scratch my way through it. So I scratched my way. The page that you see on the screen now has my scratching. I want you to see. Now we see Arabon. A-R-R-A-B-O-N. It's a noun from the Hebrew word E-R-A-B-O-N. If you look up that word, you will discover in the Hebrew language, it's a part payment on total obligation. Part payment on total obligation. At salvation, the Holy Spirit convicts, convinces, converts, regenerates. Are you with me? You see that? At salvation, the Holy Spirit convicts, convinces, converts, regenerates. Now, since we have already been saved, at the time of our Christian development, our Christian growth, the believer has the indwelling of the Holy Spirit for operational service. Now, I wanted to carry you a step farther here. Notice, please, the down payment has been made in full. The down payment of our eternal inheritance has been made in full. But, if you'll notice, as we are growing and advancing, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit now begins to be serving as an operational service. And then one of these days, at the time of our departure from this earth, the Holy Spirit will provide a glorified spiritual resurrection body. Have you ever had a loved one to pass away as a believer in Jesus Christ? You can put it down that they're absent from the body and at home with the Lord in what we would classify as an interim body. I don't understand all of that, but I believe that God has a body for every stage of life. God has a body for us now while we're on the earth. God has a body for the individuals who die before the time of the rapture of the body of Christ. So there's an interim body. I don't believe that your loved one and my loved ones who have passed away are non-existent. I don't think that at all. Because the Scripture says to be absent from the body is to be at home with the Lord. If you're at home with the Lord, that's a good place to be. So I want you to see that there's a body for those of our loved ones who have already passed away. And then at the time of the rapture, the resurrection of the body of Christ, at the time will come a new glorified spiritual resurrection body. Let me show you something. God's plan provides for the believer the indwelling Holy Spirit at salvation. It's the fulfillment of God's promise. It's our badge of royalty. It is our escutcheon. Receiving that dry baptism of the Holy Spirit at salvation reveals that we are in the eternal plan of God. We may or may not let Him control us, but we're in the eternal plan and we're secure. If we're in fellowship, He controls. If we're out of fellowship, it means we're under the control of our sinful nature. Results in turmoil, defeat, perplexity, and confusion. It's sad, But there are many people who are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ who are living their lives under the control of their sinful nature. And what do you find for them? They're in turmoil, defeat, perplexity, confusion. Then we will be either grieving or quenching the Holy Spirit. On Wednesday night, we'll be dealing with those two words. I want to express my appreciation again for the wonderful way you listen to the communication of God's Word. May we pray together, please. One more minute before we go. This minute is for those of you who've never accepted Jesus Christ as Savior. I'm glad I can tell you that God has provided the way. The only way is through Christ. Jesus said, I'm the way. There's no other way of salvation. It's not joining a church. It's not being baptized. It's not being the recipient of some church ritual. It's not trying to be good, although I need to tell you that God wants us to be as good as we can. But I tell you for sure, we're not saved by any of this. We're saved by accepting the gift of salvation, which is Jesus Christ. You can trust Him right now. If you'll do that, the Bible says you'll be saved. I can say that on the authority of the Bible, the Word of God. God does not lie. He tells the truth. And He says, listen to this, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Not hope so, not maybe so. It shall be. So I can tell you without doubt, upon the authority of the Word of God, if you'll trust Him right now, He will save you. Father, thank You for Your matchless grace. In Jesus' name, amen.